This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of July 12th, 2026. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 456. On this edition, the FIFA World Cup came to Vancouver and went. The world waits to find out who will win the final on July 19th in New Jersey. Meanwhile, British Columbians wait to find out how much it cost and wonder if it was worth the pre-tournament estimate of $729 million. My guest is Alfie Lau, a Burnaby sports writer who has attended seven FIFA World Cups, but not the one next door in Vancouver. He tells me why he sat this one out. Plus, some of the sights and sounds of the FIFA World Cup in Vancouver. Burnaby sports writer Alfie Lau has traveled around the world and enjoyed seven FIFA World Cups on four continents as a fan of the beautiful game. His mementos include framed photographs and ticket stubs from World Cup finals, including 2022's Argentina vs. France Classic in Qatar. During the 2026 FIFA World Cup, seven matches were played at BC Place Stadium in Vancouver between June 13th and July 7th, just six SkyTrain stations away from where Alfie Lau lives, but he did not go to any of the matches. The Breaker caught up with Alfie Lau the day after Vancouver's last FIFA 26 match outside Swangard Stadium, where the Vancouver Whitecaps returned to action and they beat Cavalry FC from Calgary in a Canadian Championship quarterfinal match. Swangard Stadium in Burnaby, British Columbia. The World Cup is over in Vancouver. It continues elsewhere in the United States, but back to soccer in Vancouver with the Whitecaps. The Whitecaps are back at Swangard Stadium, where they haven't played since 2010 when they're in the United Soccer League, and tonight they're playing against Cavalry FC. And we're here with Alfie Lau, Burnaby sports journalist, who has attended many Whitecaps games at Swangard and elsewhere, and has traveled around to World Cups. And Alfie, you didn't go to the World Cup in Vancouver. Why?
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I didn't go to the hometown one, but it's FIFA are the most corrupt organization ever, but they really went above and beyond this time. I mean, the way they sold tickets at inflated prices, I never thought they would get the prices they got, yet they did. So, hey, I'm the dummy, but $700-$800 for games that I thought are $50 games at tops were, it's unbelievable. And they got it everywhere for good games, bad games. I mean, there was a Jordan-Algeria game in Santa Clara that I said, there's no way they're going to fill that place up. Didn't see many empty seats there. And even here in Vancouver, we had some interesting games. We had the Belgium versus New Zealand, New Zealand versus Egypt. These are not great games. I mean, they're decent games, but $500-$600. And actually, I was offered a free ticket by our mutual friend Kingsley Bailey to a couple games. And I didn't even take him up on it. I told him, you know, give it to someone who it's going to be meaningful for. I don't want this to be my eighth World Cup experience, because it'd be like Cal Ripken Jr. keeping his consecutive game streak by being a pinch runner in the ninth inning of a blowout, right? So, but that being said, I was amazed at how cool the games were on TV-wise, and also the marches to the games. I mean, but when you look at the actual soccer, I mean, We beat Qatar 6-0. I mean, that's not a very competitive game. We lost to Switzerland 2-1. I mean, we didn't get the home victory we were looking for. And then the assortment of other games, I mean, Australia, Turkey, I mean, a decent game, but, yeah. I mean, so there were a lot. We got the World Cup experience, but we didn't get the full World Cup experience. And if someone's been through a lot of them, how come we didn't get to see the Englands, the Brazils, the Argentinas, the Hollands, the Germanys? Right? These are the teams that you sort of, I mean, Toronto got lucky. I mean, look at the last game they got. They got Croatia and Portugal. I would have killed for a game of one of those teams' quality here. The best we got was Belgium here. And how good is Belgium? Well, I mean, they're in the final eight. But we didn't get one of the marquee teams. And plus, World Cups are not just about soccer. It's about seeing places you might not normally see. And then people I know who went to the World Cup, they flew in for a game and flew right back out, either home or to the next game. That, to me, defeats the whole purpose of the World Cup. I want to see places. And it just, but hey, clearly I was wrong, because FIFA got the money, and this is a model moving forward. They're going to end up in the States for World Cups every 8 to 12 years because the money is unbelievable, right? I mean, Europeans don't usually pay this sort of money to go see World Cup games because European fans only pay to see their country, right? Once their team is out, they go home, right? But North Americans, if you tell them it's a big thing, hey, it's a World Cup round of 16, they pay the money, right? And I didn't think they would pay the amounts of money they would, but clearly they have. And that being said, I've loved watching the games on TV, but one thing that does sort of I'm disappointed about is World Cups, in Europe at least, all the marquee games, all the knockout games, if it's just a single one on a day, are at 8:45 p.m. at night. And the great thing about that is you have all day to look forward to that game. Well, that 1 p.m. game in Vancouver yesterday on Tuesday, you know, there's not a lot of time to get ready for that, right? But the weird times of games, you know, noon starts out east, 9 a.m. our time, there's not enough time to sort of build that excitement for the fan that's in town, right? It's great for TV, right? Because that's built for European TV times. But for the fan, I mean, you have a noon game, you're getting up at 7 in the morning to get to the stadium with enough time. It's tough to really get in the mood for that, right? So, but I mean, when we look back, this World Cup will be one that, I mean, it's weird that we still have a week and a half left, but none of the games are here in Canada or in Mexico or in West Coast, say for LA, right? I mean, World Cup's going on, but it's somewhere in the States, nowhere close to here. So, yeah, so let's see if I jump back on the wagon for Spain, Portugal, Morocco, Argentina, Uruguay, and Paraguay in 4 years' time. But that seems like a bit of a logistical nightmare as well, too. And will Europeans pay that sort of pricing? We'll find out.
Was it worth the $729 million, or perhaps more, for British Columbia taxpayers?
Well, it was a great party while it lasted, but now, again, like every party, the bills come, the credit card bills come at the end of the month. We'll see what it looks like. And look at the hotels. They didn't seem to get a huge bump out of it. Granville Street got a nice bump. The Shipyards got a nice bump, but go talk to people on Commercial Drive. Go talk to people in Kitsilano. Go talk to people in Burnaby here. I don't think there was a huge World Cup party here. We're the one of the few cities that didn't have watch parties here. So, again, like everything else, it's a great party and there's that great feeling while it's going on, but when the bills come in and you got to pay them, man, that's when the crying begins. It's a tough ask. $729 million. That's on the low end, right? When the security budget comes through, whatever that number is, going to be a bit higher than that. We all know.
Now you got quite a bargain to see the 2022 World Cup final in Qatar when Messi and Argentina beat France in one of the greatest games ever.
$289.50 Canadian. Category 4 ticket bought 4 hours before kickoff that afternoon because FIFA was, when they were reselling their tickets in 2022, they weren't taking 15%. They weren't letting people market up to whatever they wanted. They were selling at face value. And 4 hours before, there were no more locals who could afford. I mean, that's not a lot of money to us, but for locals in Qatar, if they don't have a ticket, that was a lot of money. Right, a couple weeks ago, I had a ticket for this World Cup final in New Jersey, just $10,330 Canadian. Right, I declined. Right, so, but I mean that's what FIFA has finally realized. I mean, I got away with 7 World Cups paying below market prices, but this World Cup was all about beyond market pricing and. People are paying $10,330 for that final ticket, right? Not me though, but it's about $10,000 more than I had to pay for 3.5 years ago.
And Donald Trump had a big impact, especially on how Iran had to relocate to Tijuana, and even more with the reversal of the red card. It was officially suspended for the U.S.-Belgium match in Seattle. What do you think of this new reality with FIFA not following the rules, not following the process, and allowing political meddling to happen in this level?
Are we surprised, right? I mean, I'm half expecting the States to be playing in the semifinals of this World Cup, by some hook or crook, they'll be allowed back in to play the semifinals and the final, no less, right? Again, that's where soccer is at this point there. Infantino's, like, the peace prize that he gave to Trump, I mean, there's nothing that Donald wants that Johnny won't give to him, right? And but really, the Iran story, should have got much more play. They played their final round robin game in Seattle, asked if they could stay the night because they knew that you know, they would be looking for scores if they get through the next round. They weren't even allowed to stay the night. So at 10 p.m., the game ended in Seattle. They had to be on a plane back to Tijuana at midnight. How is that fair in any sporting way, right? You're good enough to be allowed in the country to play, but not good enough to sleep in a hotel bed for another 8 hours? I mean, but because it's Iran, they're the big boogeyman out there that no one wants to get Curry any favor for. I mean, it's a tough look for soccer, right? But in the end, I mean, the States got its comeuppance, right? They got their striker in, didn't do anything in the game, and they lost 4-1, right? So it's, you can do whatever you want politically behind the scenes, but the games are still decided on the field. And, you know, good on Belgium for making everyone a Belgium fan that day.
The next one, 2030, is Spain, Portugal, Morocco, and starting off with the centennial matches in South America. Then 2034 in Saudi Arabia, I guess because Saudi Arabia paid big bucks like Qatar did. But 2038 has already been talked about to come back to North America. Do you think that they will come back to North America as a whole and play both in Canada and Mexico, or just center it in the United States where all the big money is and all the big stadiums are?
Nope, it's going to be all in the States. And they're going to go to places where they're going to keep probably five or six of the venues they have this time, but they can add in Minnesota, add in Chicago. They barely touch the Midwest in this, the northern part of the Midwest. So they got the Dallas and the Southwest there taken care of, but they can do six of these current stadiums, all your biggies, New York, LA, Dallas, Atlanta, and then you can do some newbies. Like I said, in Minneapolis has a fantastic stadium. Indianapolis has a fantastic stadium. All these NFL stadiums are easily convertible into World Cup venues, right? And the money is in the States. I mean, this tournament was, Mexico and Canada got just enough games to say they hosted, but really, Canada's games were not marquee. Mexico, their games were marquee because Mexico won their group, and their games were great, right, when Mexico played. The games they played in Monterrey and Guadalajara were a little less, they had the feel of the games that we had in Vancouver, right? But FIFA's just gonna follow the money, right? And the States is where the money is. And this is a watershed World Cup because FIFA has now realized that you've got a captive market that will pay almost anything to see soccer games, right? Why would you not come back here as quickly as you can, right? So, it'd be interesting what the pricing will be like for Saudi Arabia, because how many people, like Qatar, it was one of the most affordable World Cups you'll ever get to, because, you know, the people there who can afford it, not many of them, and tourists, it's not high on most people's list of places they want to travel to. So can FIFA go back to the pricing they've had for the last four or five World Cups, or do they continue on this, tickets are going to be $700-$800 per game for every game? Right. I think they can get that in Spain and Portugal, but Saudi Arabia, that's going to be interesting, right? I've been wrong on this one, so I didn't see it happening this time, but FIFA will find a way.
Speaking of find a way, speaking of coming back, the Whitecaps are here at Swangard Stadium, where this franchise actually began as the 86ers back in 1987. They're back here because they can't be in BC Place Stadium on July 8th due to the continuing tendency of FIFA. They haven't taken down everything from the World Cup, but the Whitecaps are back here for a Canadian championship game against Calgary out of Calgary. What is the future of the Whitecaps? A lot has been talked about that in recent months, that they could be on their way out to Las Vegas. Don Garber, the commissioner of Major League Soccer, has his ideas. He wants more revenue. The league wants more revenue, and they say that they can't make the revenue that they want to make. BC Place, and maybe they can't have fireworks like this in BC Place either, but they got them outdoors at Swangard for this Canada Championship match. But what about the future of the Whitecaps franchise in Vancouver?
I love how every time, every couple weeks, the city or the First Nations put out a press release, we're all working together on this. Well, show me the money. Where's the money coming from? Like, if it's been true that they've been beating the bushes for the last 6 months, 12 months, looking for an owner or new money, doesn't seem like there's money around for it, right? So everyone wants to work together and no one has the money. And that's got to be worrying because Vegas clearly has the money, right? They put in an offer and, I mean, it's a bit of a stalking horse, but at some point, if local money doesn't show up, the stalking horse becomes the real horse, okay? And, I mean, it'd be so nice if some of the rich people in Vancouver, the Chip Wilsons, the Ryan Beattys, the Tom Gallardis, right? You know, pony up the money to, and again, look what Amar Doman is doing with the BC Lions. I mean, he's a fantastic owner for a franchise that was wandering the wilderness for so long. And yes, the money's different, right? It's a lot more, but that's the type of owner it'd be great to have. Someone who comes in and tries to build it from the bottom up. And we haven't found that, right? And the longer it goes on, I'm skeptical that anyone's gonna come forward, right? Because, I mean, if this is an A-list property, people should be fighting to buy it, right? But clearly it's not an A-list property, so you're looking at who can put together a financing package, who can put together, but it's about the money. And I don't see where the money's coming from. And I hate to be the one who rains on the parade, but we can have nights like this, and everyone loves soccer this summer, but someone's got to show up with the money.
Well, the NDP government provincially here in BC does not have any money to play with. We're in Burnaby right now, not far from where Burnaby Hospital is, where the latest phase of expansion has been canceled. The government uses the word repaced, but it's really canceled. They don't have money to complete the hospital project they're promising, so how can they get involved in a potential stadium project?
Yeah, exactly. The government can't get involved, but private business, like, where are the rich guys, right? Again, I threw out the names of the Ryan Beattys and the Tom Gallardis, who were perfectly willing to buy into the Canucks way back when. But, you know, Gallardis now Dallas Stars owner, Beattys doing fantastic things with philanthropy. But this is when you need your billionaires to show up and save a community enterprise like this. I mean, the Whitecaps is just a storied history, but now the money is, you know, not just M millions, is B billions, right? Not many people can play in that sandbox, right? I'm just asking the ones who have that ability to play in the sandbox, put something together. Maybe it's not all you, right? Go 50-50 with someone, with some of the other B billionaires, right? But it'd be such a shame to see something like this leave because, well, again, period. There's like, We are a soccer community. We've just hosted a World Cup. We're on the brink of losing our soccer team? Doesn't seem right.
And anything else you'd like to add? Anything else I haven't asked that I should have asked?
Well, again, it's this feeling after, like, in the glow of a World Cup. Everyone's excited about the World Cup and soccer right now, but my experience that it never really holds on past the start of the next hockey season, right? So let's see if we can continue this momentum. Let's continue believing in soccer for the next four-year cycle and not just the next 4 weeks, you know? It's going to be so sad if it's in September all we hear is, like, what do the Canucks do at third-line center, right? Instead of asking, like, do the Whitecaps have a new owner? What's our future? Like, what's Canada Soccer going to do as they get ready for the Nations League, right? I mean, I want to see the soccer discourse continue more than just during this World Cup month.
Well, thanks again to Alfie Lau for joining us on the Breaker.News podcast just outside Swangard Stadium in Burnaby, where the Whitecaps are playing the Calgary entry in the Canadian Premier League. And opening round of the Canadian Championship. It looks like there's been a goal. Well, that'll make fans here happy at Swangard Stadium. So thanks for making our listeners happy and viewers happy on the Breaker.News podcast.
Thanks, Bob.
display your ticket on your mobile device to our staff as you approach the gates. For your comfort and safety, the following items are not permitted into the stadium. Beverages or liquids, including alcohol, coolers, umbrellas, noisemakers, balls, helmets, strollers, video cameras, laptops, laser pointers, selfie sticks, drones, fireworks, e-cigarettes, vaporizers, animals, except service dogs to aid guests with disabilities, firearms and weapons of any kind. In addition, clear tote bags, which are no larger than 12 inches by 6 inches by 12 inches, 1 gallon plastic bags, or 4.5 by 6.5 small clutch bags are the only type of bags permitted. Please connect your phone to Wi-Fi and be ready to show your ticket on your mobile device to our staff as you approach the gates. Food items must be wrapped or contained in clear plastic. Please return any prohibited items to your vehicle. The stadium is not responsible for any items left at the gate. For a full list of medical exceptions, please visit the FIFA World Cup fan app. Permitted signs, banners, and flags that are smaller than 60 inches by 78 inches, event-related, handheld, and without poles, must not block another guest's view and cannot be affixed or hung from any stadium structure. Permitted posters and signs cannot be obscene or indecent, not event-related, potentially offensive to other patrons, or otherwise deemed dangerous or inappropriate by FIFA or the stadium. Signs or flags on poles or sticks longer than 39 inches are also not permitted. Please connect your phone to Wi-Fi and be ready to show your ticket on your mobile device to our staff as you approach the gates. If you have any ticketing questions, please contact a member of our guest services team. Smoking is not permitted in seating areas, concourses, ramps, stairways, clubs, and suites. Smoking is only permitted in designated areas. If you have any questions or concerns, please see a game day staff member here to provide you with the highest quality sports and entertainment experience in a safe, clean, and friendly environment. The stadium and FIFA appreciate respectful behavior from our fans. To pursue an enjoyable and safe experience for all fans, those who choose to engage in any of the following conduct may be ejected from the stadium and may be subject to payment of civil penalties or fines. Disorderly or disruptive conduct, abusive language, fighting, harassing other fans, sitting in an unauthorized location, unauthorized ticket resale, wearing obscene or indecent clothing, inappropriate displays of affection, smoking, intoxication, or other behavior that interferes with other fans' enjoyment of the game. Anyone caught throwing objects or trespassing on the field will also be ejected. Unauthorized transmission of accounts or descriptions of the game, including play-by-play data, is strictly prohibited. To report fan behavior, text the word ASSIST, followed by a space, your issue, and location to 267-570-4444, or contact the nearest event staff or security personnel. Thank you, and enjoy the match.
That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of July 12th, 2026. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Bookmark thebreaker.news and thebreaker.ca. Follow on social media. We're on X, Threads, and Blue Sky. Follow the YouTube channel for The Breaker videos. And sign up for the free email newsletter, bobmackin.substack.com. Become a paid subscriber. Get early access to podcasts. Thanks again, and until next week.